All right, Ecclesiastes, look at the last chapter. This is a familiar verse. You can say it, probably, most of you can, without even looking at it. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. All right, now remember what youth is. I've preached so much to you about this stuff. How long are you a youth? You're a youth until your children start leaving your home. When your children grow up, then that's when you really transition from your youth. Until then, you're still in your youth. Say, well, what about old people that have children? Well, don't talk to me about that. Most old people don't have children. Don't pull up an exception to deny the whole thing. That's fact. Yeah. You don't really mature fully until your children are grown. Yeah. So remember thy Creator now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So that means the whole time. Well, you ought to remember your Creator all the time, but I mean especially in the days of thy youth. Because of these other things that he says here. While the evil days come not. You think you got it rough when you're in your youth, but you don't know yet. Trouble. You don't know what trouble is until you find out what your kids can do for you and to you. I mean, you think you've had trouble with jobs and the people and churches and wives and husbands. Wait till you feel what your children can do to you. While the evil days draw nigh, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. All right, I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes here this morning about sowing seeds of regret. You know, sin has made life work backwards on us. Young people are slaves to dreams, and old people are servants to their regrets. That's a quote from somebody else said that. I didn't say that. I just read it and I thought, boy, that's true. So I told you. Young people are slaves to their dreams. They got a vision. They got a plan, like you talked about. And they got ideas and a vision of where their life's going and how it's going to be. But I can tell you with a surety that it's not going to be how you visualize it to be and how you dream it to be. That's why you need to remember now your Creator. You know what it says, Sunday school lesson is about the process. Well, the process is a plan, and it's the plan of God. The process is the plan of God, not our plan. Our plans always get thrown overboard along the journey. And it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Amen. Because if we had our way, we would destroy everything. That's why we're to remember our Creator. You better remember God when you're young. We sow while we're young. That's what we're doing. We're sowing. And we reap when we're old. That's just the way life is. That's the way everything works. It's spring. Everybody's buying these little plants and plowing your garden and getting it all ready. I've had people come buying lumber so they can build raised beds because they're planting stuff. Well, that's what you're doing the whole time you're young. And especially when you marry and have children and you have your family. Until you get to that point, you're still just kind of adrift in everything. But that's really, if you want to talk about process, that's the process of your life, raising those children. Yes. And we're sowing. And we're going to reap when we're old. Who was it? Esther's telling about the old man that stopped you in the store and told you to take care of these little ones because they're your future. They'll make you happy someday if you take care of them. And they can also make you full of regret. They can make you sad and they can break your heart. We ignore the warnings from older folks who say, you'll be sorry, or that's a bad choice you're making. You want to know what I was sitting here thinking a while ago, you want to know one of the biggest regrets of my life? Is not listening. When older people tried to tell me. And I took it as them trying to control my life. Or them trying to do something to for their own selfishness. One of the hardest things in life is when you're older and you're watching people destroy themselves. You're watching them make choices that you know where they're going. You know what's going to happen. They don't. They're dreaming. They're living in dreams. Everything's going to be okay. I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. I know what I want. And everything's going to be all right. But see, the person who's got the experience and already been down that road, they're looking at you and they're seeing your tears while your face is shining rebellion and resistance and despising the counsel. But they're seeing where you're going to be. That's how God sees us too. That's how God looks at our life. And that's why God chastens us and corrects us. And that's why God intervenes and destroys our plans. Because they'll destroy us if He didn't. When we're young, we don't realize that we're truly sowing seeds that are going to yield a harvest. We just don't think in that realm. We just think it's today. You know, last night, I think we were talking, we mentioned it about the kids. Esther got ready to leave, and she was saying goodbyes and everything. You know how goodbyes are. I mean, it's like, you know, not going to see each other for years. But anyway, she said to one of the kids that about her mother, said, "That's my mommy." And, of course, we marveled about how the child responded. Like, it just totally boggles her mind. They can't get a hold of this, I'm her mommy, or daddy. She's my daughter. She's my little girl. Her kids can't understand that. You know why? Because they don't, they're living right now. They're very young. And it takes you, you don't start to come out of that until your kids start leaving your nest. That's when you start coming out of that. Right. Of realizing that it's not just about today. And it's not just about this month, this year, my 27th year, 26th year, whatever it is. It's not, I mean, you got to get down the road before you stop thinking in that realm.
Yes.
The young people do not realize that everything they're doing, all their actions, every choice they make, every person they allow in their life to influence their life, their children's life, is a seed sown that's going to bring a harvest. It's going to bring a result. There's going to be consequences. And when you're young, you just don't realize that. You don't think about it. You just think everything's just flowing along like a river and it'll all just pass and there won't be any consequences. There won't be any problems. Everything is going to be all right. You don't realize that. You got to get down the road, and then you'll look back and you'll say, "Oh, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I choose that? Why did I go there?" And you sowed the seed way back there, carelessly. Life is for now when you're young, and it really feels like it's going to be that way forever. It's one of the things about life that you marvel at when you get older is you just think, how in the world did I get to here without realizing this? You know, somebody said, "I knew old age was coming, but I didn't think it was coming this quick." And that's the way it is. When you're young, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. In the days of thy youth, you just don't think that way. You just don't see it coming. It's just, you're young, you're strong, you're resilient. I mean, you can do something, get all sore, but you're good in a day or two. You're good again. You can go to bed at night, wore plumb out. Get up in the morning, and you're good as new. And you think it's going to be that way forever. And it's not. But I'm not talking about just physical things. I mean, I'm talking about life and your happiness and your situation and your circumstance. You think it's all going to be always going to be okay. There'll be no consequences from what I'm doing. That's the same as the deceitfulness of sin, you see. Sin happens that way because people do that and they think, I can get away with this. It's going to be okay. I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. I just want to smoke one joint, see what it's like. I'm just going to take it one time. I just don't want to go through life and not experience everything and know what it's like. Huh. That's the way sin lies to you. That's where drunkards and dope heads and people destroy their lives. And we all sitting here this morning and we know people and we've got people in our families that we can look right at and remember when they weren't like that at all and see what it's done to them. But young people are the same way. When you're in your youth, you think it's going to be okay. No matter what you do, it'll just be okay. No matter who you're around, it's just going to be okay. No matter what choice you make about anything, it's going to be okay. When we're older, we begin to realize the pain of regret because of our sowing. It just starts easing in on you. If you could, you know, if we could get a taste, if somehow we could make people, when they're in the days of their youth, feel the pain of regret, then it would wake you up. You know, we think sometimes if people could just get dropped into hell for a few minutes, that'd change everything. Well, I don't know if it would or not. But I know that it would be a sobering experience for you if you could just see your future. If you could just, in your emotions and feelings and understanding, if you could just be transported 20, 30 years ahead and see what it's going to feel like because of the choices, because of the bad habits, because of the bad attitudes, because of the bad behavior and interaction among families and everything. Especially children.
Yes.
Most people, their biggest regrets are with their children. Mm-hmm. Because when they were young, you know how a kid is. When they're little, well, you just throw them around. You can just spank them. You can make them sit in the corner. You can just yell at them. And then you just go on about your business.
Right.
And then it'll all be okay. No, but it's seeds that are being sown. And buddy, they're going to bring a crop, a harvest in. But since young people have never felt that pain, they continue right down that road that leads to so much regrets. Mercy. There's so much more I'd like to say, but now let me hurry. Regret. Here it is. All regret comes from the wrong choices in the past. You're never going to regret something that you didn't choose. You're never going to regret anything that you didn't do on purpose. It has to be that way. Regret, the very definition of it, means pain of heart because of wrong choices in the past. It's grief, but it's different in the sense that you could have avoided it. And that's the pain of it, is to know that it didn't have to be that way. You just made a stupid, selfish choice. You lived in a stupid, selfish attitude and toward everybody, or even certain people.
Right. Yeah.
How many people do you think whose homes have broken up that down the road, you know, they think they regret it?
Oh, yeah.
Just put it simple. How many people have you know? I mean, we know some people. I mean, I know some of your family that, you know, split up, terrible. Mm-hmm. Lived their lives separate for years. And when they were old, they just wanted to get back together, be back together. Yeah, in the nursing home, you see the same thing.
Yes, sir.
Seen the same thing. It's grief, but it's different in the sense you could have avoided it. And the things that you have no control over, they can cause grief, but not regret. Things like, you know, losing a child in death through accident or disease or something. You're always going to grieve about that. But regret is not the word you put there because you had no fault in it. Another part of regret and the pain of it is self-blame. Listen to me, it's guilt combined with grief and the pain of loss. It's loss and grief and guilt. And some regret. It includes all that, see? That's the ingredients to regret. We're mostly unaware when we're sowing the seeds of regret. You know, part of it's because we're young, like I've all just said there, like I just explained, how that when we're young, we just live in that realm of today. We can't imagine being old. We can't imagine that things will change in our life, even though we know they will. Yeah. It's like we all know sitting here this morning that there's going to come a time, a day, an hour, a moment when we're going to die. All of us. We know that. But we sure don't live with that inside, do we? Very, very little. It has to come close and start knocking on the door. You have to feel the breath of death's, of the death angel before you really start thinking about it much. And it's kind of that way when you're young. See, you don't think about what life's going to be like down the road when your children are grown. When things do change, you don't think about that. And so you don't prepare for it. Somehow we convince our minds that we are going to escape the consequences of what we're doing. Or that it'll just turn out different for us than it does for other people. Well, now, let me just say a few things here. First of all, sin will always bring regret. No exceptions. Every time you do make a choice, sin is a choice. You make a choice to sin. Never any other way. You don't do it by accident. It's not a slip-up. It's something you do on purpose.
That's right.
And it will always bring regret. You'll always regret it.
Yes,
sir. When we violate the moral law of God and our conscience, when we violate our conscience, we're going to live to regret it. I promise you, you're going to rue the day that you did what you did. When we see the effects and the consequences of our sin, our stubbornness and our selfishness and our ignorance on the lives of other people, when we see what it's done to other people, especially our children and loved ones, then we will know what regret can do to us. See? Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
It ain't going to happen to you until you see what you've done.
Oh, yeah.
When you see what you've done to other people, that's the knife of sin, buddy. That's what it does to you. When you do the sin, when you choose to commit the sin, you're only thinking of yourself. And it's my business, it's my body, it's my life, and I will do as I please. And it ain't going to hurt anybody else. People break up their homes and they commonly say, oh, the kids will be all right. They'll make it. No, they are not going to be all right.
No.
We figured that, you know, it'd just be better for the kids to have us apart than to live with us a fighting and everything. Won't you just quit fighting?
Amen.
Won't you just love one another like God meant for you to and like you promised and vowed to God you would do? That's the best way to do it. That's the only way to do it and avoid the regrets. Sleeping brings regret. Now, I'm not talking about going to bed at night. Got to do that. Most of the nights, I just go till that's it. I got to go to bed. I got to go to sleep. Can't do it no more. But I'm not talking about that. Sleeping, I'm talking about this. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 25, Jesus said, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. You know, that certain man planted his fields with good seed, and then he went to sleep. Everything's going to be all right. I mean, I took them to church. We pray at the table. I mean, we do everything we're supposed to do. I teach them the Bible, and it's going to be all right. But they didn't. Nobody was watching. While the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. They didn't even know that it had happened.
Right.
You'll be sorry for not paying attention. What's going on in your marriage, in your home, in your children.
So true.
You'll be sorry for being so busy talking, for being so busy involved in other things, so busy working, so busy thinking about all of your plans and dreams and what you... Because that's when you're young, you know, in the days of your youth, that's when you got all that. Yeah. We're going to do this, and I'm going to build this, and I'm going to do this, and I want to do this, and I've got this, and oh, we're going to have this someday. We're going to buy this someday. We're going to build this someday. And while you're occupied with all that, and while you're occupied with your friends and your social activities and your busyness about life, oh, that's exactly when it's going to happen.
Right.
You know that thing about a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. What do you think that means?
Exactly what I mean. That's really true.
Yes. Simply not paying attention, sleeping to those around you and what's going on. It's amazing to me how it is with marriages and how there can be unfaithfulness in marriage because somebody's just not paying attention.
Yep.
They can become so blatant with it that everybody else sees, but they don't see because they're not paying attention. Carelessness on our watch, especially with our marriage, our children, our church, just being careless on our watch. What's your watch? What's your post God's put you at right now?
Yes.
When you're young and you've got children and everything, that's your post.
That's right.
It ain't nothing else. Other people's families are not your concerns.
That's right. That's right.
You better man your post.
Yes.
And you better keep your eyes and your attention right there instead of on everybody else.
Yes.
What everybody else is doing. Being so busy that we're oblivious to what the enemy's doing in our midst, in our own home, in our own marriage. Being so busy that we don't even know what's going on. You know, in the husband's heart, in the wife's heart, in her mind, in his mind, in their life, where they're separate, you know. I mean, everybody here, not all of us, stays at home. I don't ever go anywhere. Dad's at home. But Gary goes to work. Esther goes to work a little bit, some. And Dakota's gone all time to work. Mike goes to work. Amy goes to work. You spend all this time apart.
Yep.
Other people are putting in.
Jeez.
Got all these phones and stuff, which is the bane of everything nowadays.
Yes.
Too much contact with too many people.
Yes.
While you're doing all that socializing on media, where are the children?
Right.
What are they thinking? What are they doing?
Yes. Right.
Well, I'm keeping my eye on them. No, you're not. Not if you're busy socializing with everything in the world. This is a thing, you know, I've been thinking about it. Boy, we're in such a time here. I mean, if somebody don't start pulling the plug a little bit, I mean, you don't start backing off and separating from all of this. There is no hope for your future. Your children are going to become servants of the Antichrist. Ain't no way. It's not going to happen. The foundation is totally destroyed. And if you don't do some drastic measures in your lives, I'm telling you, the wreck is ahead. We went in down there the other day at Penny's, and that's what we were talking about earlier, you know, and this boy waited on us at the checkout there. And, you know, just full-on sodomite. I stood there and listened to him and had to deal with him and everything about the deal. And I just sit there and got to thinking about how, what kind of home, what kind of raising, what kind of people has this boy, what has made this happen? I get all the, and I just thought about it, and I thought, what can be done about this? You know, I'm a preacher. We're a church. You know, we've got the truth. What can we do? You know what the Bible says? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I get these things from the World War II history and stuff. I read these things. Read one this morning. This boy, he lied and forged his mother's name so he could get into Marines in World War II when he was 16 years old. 15. Well, he was 17 when they, you know, they found out. Anyway, they found out about it after he was already in, and so they put him in a place where he couldn't fight. He had to stay in a place doing something else, you know. He wasn't going to have it. He sneaked out and got on a ship and chipped out with another bunch to Iwo Jima. And, of course, the first day he was there, he was in a trench with four other guys, and they threw two grenades in the trench. Well, his gun had jammed, and he was fooling with his gun when he seen it. The rest of them didn't see him. And he shoved him out of the way, one of them, and he fell on the grenade and grabbed the other one and pulled it under him. And of course, they blew up and blew him plumb out of the trench on his back. Thought he was dead. The others thought he was dead, so they went on fighting and left him, and a medic come out and got him, and you know, he survived. He died a few years ago, 80 years old. And there was a much more to that story, but I told her, I said, what kind of people raise that kind of man? And they were all like that. You can just read all you want, and that's what you can find. The other one the other day, I read this, his family ran a printing business down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He wasn't a farm boy or nothing, but he ended up over there in Germany fighting. And they had him, his bunch all surrounded, and they killed all of the commanding officers, got killed, and he ended up in command of all of them, 20 years old. And the Germans had him outnumbered 4-1, and they kept saying, stand down, stop, surrender. And he hollered at them, you come and get me. And they fought until they won. And then I looked back at that boy down there the other day. And that's not an exception. That's not an odd thing. That's the absolute standard of what this generation is raising for men. Well, what is it? It's the choices mom and dad are making. First of all, they don't make any choice to be a family. They're just born of fornication. Yeah. Yep. They're just born like animals in a chicken farm or something are. It's just all a mechanical, lustful, that's born of lust, and that's all. No raising, no morals. People's bad choices. Yeah. It eventually brings everything down. I'm talking about your regrets personally that you're going to face if you don't be careful in life. But it eventually destroys the whole nation and the whole world. And that's where we're at right now. Being so busy that we're oblivious to what the enemy's doing in our midst. And oblivious to what he's doing in the hearts of our children and loved ones. That's one thing that I've learned too late. Is that you better be concerned with what's going on in the mind and heart of your husband, wife, children.
Yes, that's true.
You better do your diligence to understand and know. So I can't know what's going on. If you're watching close, you can. There's red flags. There's warnings. There's things that'll tip you off.
Yep.
If you're wise. If you're seeking wisdom from God. And if you're really serious about this thing, don't ignore them. Don't sleep while the devil takes them away from you. by being ignorant, just not knowing or understanding, especially some basic facts of life and human nature. Just being ignorant, you're going to regret. You're going to regret your sins, going to make you regret things. Being sleeping, being careless is going to make you have regrets. And being ignorant is going to make you have regrets. Have you ever said to yourself, how could I have been so stupid? Have you? How many times? What was the matter with me? Well, I wasn't thinking. Didn't know. Didn't try to know. Being ignorant is one thing. There's no shame in being ignorant. The shame is in staying ignorant.
Yes, sir.
Not even realizing you're ignorant. Ignorance is a lack of knowledge and understanding. You can have that.
Yes.
You can get it.
Yes, absolutely.
Not striving to gain the knowledge and wisdom we need to be a good steward of what God's given us to watch over.
Yes.
God's given us children. You know, He's given you children to watch over.
Yes.
They're your charge.
Yes.
You're responsible. You will answer to God for them.
Yes.
But you will suffer in this life because of them, or they will be the joy of your life.
That's right.
That's what God meant for them to be. And they can be. It's Proverbs 1:29. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. That's ignorance on purpose. They hated knowledge and did not choose. What did I say all regrets come from?
Choices.
Yeah, the dictionary says it's a result of bad choices. Proverbs 2, verses 10 and 11. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. That's being able to make the right choices. Discretion is being able to make the right choices. So did you want me to read it again? When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, when you learn to love God's instructions and wisdom that comes from God, then discretion will preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. Proverbs 13, verse 16. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. I'm talking about being ignorant, having regret someday because of your ignorance. Well, there's some other things, but by thinking too highly of ourselves, you're going to regret that. Yeah, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Thinking too highly of ourselves. That's the thing of the days of your youth. These children don't have to be, I mean, just as soon as they can start talking and expressing and conveying their thoughts to you, they begin to tell you how much they know. They begin to tell you that you're wrong and they're right. It's a child thing. It's a youth thing. When you get out of your youth, you'll stop doing that. You'll stop thinking that way. You know what does it to you? Pain of regret and shame for your own ignorance, carelessness, sin, and pride. Your own pride will make you sick if you ever come to yourself. Being critical of others and always seeing their faults is a pretty good indication that we think too highly of ourselves. How much do you talk about other people? How much do you see the faults in other people? It's a pretty good gauge for you. Look in the mirror and say, well, where's it at? Is it in the red? That's kind of what I do all the time. Thinking that we're wiser than others, and since we know more, we aren't going to make the same mistake. See? I'll tell you one thing. That's one thing right there that you'll never hear me do. You'll never see me do. I'll never. Oh, be careful about those words coming out of your mouth. I never say that. I used to. I'll tell you one thing. A salt boy ain't. Well, how many of you have had to eat those words? Yep. See there?
Yep.
Remember now, thy Creator, in the days of thy youth. These evil days haven't come yet. You ain't seen the fruit of what you've sown yet. The crop's not in. You ain't tasted yet of what you've sown. Thinking we're wiser than other people. Trouble is that when you're gloating in your wisdom and higher knowledge when you're young, you'll make other mistakes that are worse than those you think yourself too wise to make. I've seen it over and over. I've seen people, and they were so bent on not making that mistake that they stumble over something and end up much worse. They're overlooking the elephant in the room. By thinking that we're not as vulnerable because of our superior spiritual state. You're not spiritually superior simply because you've adopted a bunch of standards and doctrines and all of this. Your religion don't make you spiritually superior. If any man think himself to be something, he's nothing. That's the way it works. When you think highly of yourself, remember what Samuel said to Saul, when thou wast little in thine own eyes, God exalted you, made you king, and now look at you. Anyone who's spiritually superior won't gloat in it because they had to be broken into a million pieces to become that way. Now, there's the truth for you. Anybody that is spiritually superior, I mean, if you want to be around somebody who is spiritual, you're going to find out that they're going to be humble. They're not going to be proud. And they're not going to be looking around at other people just picking. All right? We sow seeds of regret every time we choose to please men instead of God.
That's right.
Every time we choose to please ourselves instead of God.
Yes. True.
Does the Holy Ghost live in you? Do you have any breaks? Are there any checks of the Holy Spirit on your life and heart? I mean, can you just do anything, go anywhere, be with anybody, say anything, do anything? Do you ever question about the things you're doing? You know, the people that you're around, that's a big important thing. Yeah. Buddy, if I could go back through my life, there would be a lot of turns there that would have changed who was involved in my life and in my family's lives. I thought it was good, and I thought I knew what I was doing. I thought I was in charge of things. I thought I was the one controlling everything. Nope, wasn't that way at all. Right, I got to hurry up here. Minimize your regrets.
Yes.
It's very unlikely that any of us will live a lifetime without any regrets. But we can minimize them.
Yes.
Chances are you're doing something right now that you'll regret someday. Wonder what it is. Maybe it's just being unhappy with the process. Like Seth was talking about in Sunday school. Just being unhappy. Discontent. Wherever you're at, whatever's going on in your life, it is part of the process. So just learn, like Paul, to be content in whatsoever state you're in.
Right.
Just, I try to preach that to you all the time. Just do what you can, where you're at, with what you got. Live your life, day by day. This is not about some celebrity, striving for celebrity status in the Christian world. It's about living your life for God. Day by day.
Yes.
Teaching your children to love God and to know God.
Yes.
And to enjoy God.
Amen.
Enjoy God every day.
Yes. Amen.
By truly walking with God and seeking wisdom from Him in all our ways, we can minimize our regrets.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, there's a lot of bad things. I read a thing Tozer this morning, and it was pretty good. He talking about the Christian life and how there's a lot of bad things that happen to Christians. Sure is. It's no promise that it's going to be an easy life or a life without trouble and all and loss, maybe even death. That's what it's been for a lot of people. The world is going to make it hard on you to be a Christian. But when you get old, you're not going to regret that. So the problems and difficulties of life when you're young, that's not what you're going to regret. Get it? The things you're so concerned about and the things you're mourning and pining over now are not going to be the things that hurt you down the road. You know, we'd always break down or something. It just looked like the end of the world. Dad said, well, I won't even remember this 100 years from now. Well, it don't take 100 years. 2 or 3 weeks and you done forgot about that and went on. So it's not the troubles and the things and the, you know, the everyday things. That's not what you're going to regret. What you're going to regret is how you dealt with it. What you did that made everlasting changes of course for the lives. We ought to seek the will of God in everything. Now, I'm talking about everywhere we go, everything we do. I mean, do you do that, really? How many of us do that? Let's just go the bluff. You ever pray about that? Or are you like the people that he talked about in the Bible? He said, there's certain people said, well, we're going to go to such and such and sit in. We're going to buy them, we're going to sell them, we're going to get gain. And he said, you ought to say, if the Lord will. If you jump in the car and take off the bluff and you have a wreck and somebody gets killed, reckon you'll ever say, oh, if I'd just not done that. You talked about one time nearly having a wreck for going to town for a bottle of ketchup.
Yep, sure did. Yep.
What if you'd got killed or crippled for life? A ketchup,
yeah,
bottle of ketchup. Would you have regrets about that? Oh, absolutely. So, you're going to have regrets if you don't seek God's will in everything you do. Think about it. By getting our minds off of ourselves and onto God and other people. I'm talking about quit thinking selfishly. Quit thinking about ourselves, our feelings, our what we're unhappy about. Just quit. Quit. You're going to regret that. Think about other people. Think about other people's problems. You want to know how to solve your problems? Solve somebody else's problems for them. If you're unhappy, make somebody else happy. And you'll find out you're going to be happy. I promise you, it'll work that way. People you just can't get along with, just be nice to them. Make them happy. Not me. I'm going to show them. I got a right. Well, you got a right to destroy your life and everybody around you. You got to stop. You got to stop somewhere. If you want to be happy, make somebody else happy. And charity should start where? I mean, this is not Bible. This is an old saying, but at home. Charity begins at home. Think about others, their needs. You know, somebody's sick. They need a little care. I knew they'd get her attention. I'm always razzing her because poor Dakota, he gets sick. And I feel sorry for him. Her mother says she's just like you. Well, I'm not that way. I ain't never done you that way. And she said, no, but you're just different. You're just different. You just leave me in there and check on me once in a while to see if I'm dead or yet or not. But, and she just pets me and cares for me and waits on me and, you know, if I'm sick. I don't leave her in there to do that. When we were young, probably, I just said, well, when are you going to quit being sick and get better? Get up! We got stuff to do. We got to go somewhere. Where's the supper? I ain't got no clothes. Kids are in here going crazy. But see, that's the stuff you'll regret.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Go to a funeral. Or a nursing home. Or a hospital. where some old man's wife is dying. Yeah. Or where some old woman's husband is dying. Listen to him. You know what they're thinking? Dad, you remember when Mom was dying and in the hospital? You remember Wade? Full of regrets for what he had done with his life, and he couldn't end like this. Think about other people's benefits instead of your own. Their blessing instead of your own. Their growth instead of your own. Think about what they need. Think about what's best for them. Do what's best for them instead of what you want. What's best for you. If you lose your life, you find it. That's just the way of God. It's part of the process. You want to minimize your regrets. Live like that. Psalm 92, verse 12 and 15. Listen to this. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. So when you get old, it's okay to be fat, see? To show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in Him. I just want to say this to you. Make your choices wisely. All of your choices. Daily. Little choices. About little things. Think about what you're doing. Think about what you're saying to your husband, your wife, your children. Think to other people. Think about it before. What did Grandma always say?
3 times.
Yeah. Say it to yourself in your mind 3 times before you say it with your tongue. Yeah. So you know. We know. Why won't we do it? Make your choices wisely. Seek and heed the wise and godly counsel of those who traveled the road of life before you, because they desire to spare you the pain of regrets. You see, I can think back when people tried. Certain people tried to tell me things and talk to me, and I just totally did not get it. But, you know, once somebody tells you something, you don't forget. It's still there. So, fast forward 40 years, 30 years. I can play it over now and, oh, now I understand. When I was young, I listened to music all the time. I didn't pay no attention to the words. I can say all the words to those songs to you. I know all the words. I didn't know I knew them. Back then, I didn't pay any attention. Didn't think nothing about it. Now, I can run those words through my mind, and I think, oh, what in the world was I listening to that for, and why was I thinking? I wasn't thinking. It's that way with this, see. I can look back and see what the counsel that I tried, that people tried to help me with, and I wouldn't listen. I know, I'm going to quit. I'm right at the very end here. It's just right there. But I remember when we were going to go to Mexico. I remember an old preacher from over at Missionary Acres found us in Walmart one day up at Piedmont. And he stopped me and he tried to talk to me. And, you know, he said, son, just, you know, I know you say God's called you to Mexico and all of this. But he said, have you just thought about maybe trying to get some training first and get, you know, take a little time to prepare. And I just brushed him off. Just old. Just set in his ways. Why, he don't understand that God can do anything with anybody.
Yeah.
See? Full of faith, boy. Full of zeal. Full of understanding that poor old man didn't have. you regret those things. He wasn't trying to control me. He wasn't trying to tell me what to do. He'd done been on the mission field. He'd done been down the whole road. He knew what lay ahead for me that I had no idea on this earth about. Yep. And he was just trying, out of love and concern, to spare me some hurt and regrets. And to help me to be a fruitful servant of God. Realize while you're young that everything you do, every choice you make, and every person you allow to have a part in your life is sowing seeds for the future. Sowing seeds for the future. For future blessings, future happiness, or for future pain and regret and loss. And then there's just one other verse I want to read to you, because I want to just say a word of encouragement to anybody that is on the other end of the deal. And it's not, you know, regrets are a terrible thing, but there's a great God who's merciful and kind, forgiving and long-suffering. And in Joel chapter 2, he says, "Be glad then," in verse 23, "ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." This don't mean it's all over. None of us are going to get there without having some regrets. Don't just throw in the towel and say, "Well, I'm giving up, then I'll just live my life the way I want to and let the chips fall where they may." No, you don't want to do that. There's a better way to end up. But in verse 25, he said, "I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." I'll tell you how it is with me. When I look back on our life and I see all of the blunders and all of the foolishness and all of the mistakes and all of the pride and all of the bad choices, I just stand amazed at how good it is.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah, we've had some trouble with some children and all, but it could be way worse.
Oh, yes.
I look around me at some of my contemporaries and their children, and I think, "Oh, thank God for your mercy, Lord." So that's how God is. Some people really make a mess of their life. I mean, they just really make a mess. But Mary Magdalene had made a mess of her life. Along with a bunch of others. Did that null God's mercy and forgiveness and the blessings that you can have from God? Of course not. Talks about a good old age. Abraham, Gideon, and David. Bible says they all died in a good old age. Did Abraham have regrets?
No.
Oh, I think so. Hagar, Ishmael. Yeah, I believe he did. A Lot. What about Gideon? Well, yeah, he did. He messed up. After the great victory, he messed up. His children all went bananas. What about David? Did he have any regrets?
Yes.
Oh, yes. But the Bible says about all three of those men, they died in a good old age. That verse I just read in Joel chapter 2 applied to them also, saying, God will restore. You know, life can be better than you can ever imagine that it could be, in spite of all the regrets. But the best way is to avoid them if you can.
Yes, sir.
Because along with our regrets, there's casualties. There's this, what they call collateral damage that happens from our sin, our carelessness, our pride, and our ignorance.
Right.
You know, I can see already, I see some of my children suffering because of, you know, I know where the fault, I know where the seed was sown.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I'm just crying aloud this morning. So if you're in your youth, you can take heed now.
Yes,
you don't have to wait until you're old and suffered loss and have grief. And regret with guilt and shame. You don't have to do that.
No.
Do something about it. Seek the Lord in all that you do. Live for your family, not yourself. Make your spouse happy instead of yourself.
Yeah.
Strive to do that.
Make you happy.
Wasn't it John Tilly's father-in-law told him that? When I got married, he said, if you want to be happy. He said, you make her happy and you live to make him happy. If you do that, that's truth.
That's truth.
Father, thank you for the word of God. I know this is all true. Lord, if I only could express it better, if there was some way I could have used better words, illustrations, whatever, to make it hit the bullseye in everybody's heart and life here this morning. But that's not my responsibility. I do the best I can with what you've given me to work with and the Word of God and the Spirit of God are the ministers here this morning. And I pray that, Lord, you'd have your way in every heart. Pray everybody would receive this message and remember it and put it to practice in their life. Pray we'd go out of here and stop sowing fields full of regrets for the future and all the damage that it's going to cause. Help us, Lord, to stop it. Give us wisdom. Keep us awake. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Lord, give us a heart to love and not hate. Help us, God, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.